This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
We're very happy right now to be joined in studio by a Kansas fan to get the Kansas perspective. That's who you are.
Okay.
The opposition is who you are.
Fair enough.
Happy to have you join us in studio today,
yeah,
my man.
I'm glad to be here.
What is it like to have this rivalry back from the Kansas perspective? This rivalry has never died from the Missouri perspective, like not even a little bit. It has not died one bit. What is it like from the Kansas perspective?
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting when this was first announced that it was going to come back, and I'm going to kind of parse this out with kind of football being a little bit separate because they played in basketball now a couple of times already with it coming back. But I think football specifically, when you're talking about football, when this first announced it was going to come back, I think there was a lot of mixed thoughts from Kansas fans of like, oh, you know, those losers left, like, you know, screw them. We don't want to play those guys anymore. They left us, you know, they left the Big 12, whatever. And so I think there was a little bit of, hey, why would we reinvite this, reignite this rivalry? Because those guys left us, right? Like, who cares, you know? And I think even I a little bit shared that sentiment as well. But thinking about where things have come now over the past, you know, leading into the summer and kind of understanding that it's going to come back. And I, at least for me, the sentiment for me now has become, you know what? Games like this are good for college athletics, good for college sports, right? Like, these are the types of games that make people fall in love with college sports, right? And so I think having it back ultimately for me is a good thing. And you can tell that in the past week on the KU side, people are excited about it. People are fired up to play the game. There's no more of that sort of energy of, why are we doing this? You know, I think everyone's now recognizing like, hey, this is, games like this are good. Like, it's good to have these types of rivalries and to have them be played.
Right now, we're joined by Nick Springer. He covers Kansas. He is the co-host of the Pay Heed podcast. I feel like Bill Self was a really big driving force in this. I felt like a lot of that sentiment was kind of, we do what Bill says. Bill says this rivalry doesn't matter, so we will follow Bill. And once Bill softened his stance, and I remember Bill said it, hey, this is the most anticipated game on our schedule. Like, once Bill could admit that playing Missouri was a big deal, then every KU fan could admit that playing Missouri is a big deal.
It's one of those things where, it's like, oh, you know, we are above them. We don't want to play them. And then once you get closer to it, it's like, okay, now we're excited. Now we want to go beat them.
This is one of those things that I tell people. It was like, you had to have been in attendance to really understand. That hurricane relief game, I think, really reminded people of how important it is when Missouri and Kansas play each other. Like, I went in there, and I think a lot of people, like, I didn't really know what to expect. Like, I didn't really know the rivalry and intensity of it. Yeah. But if you got Missouri fans on one side and KU fans on the other side, and they are competing in something, it is impossible for those old emotions and those feelings not to come back.
Yeah, and when speaking to some former players this week about this, you know, I had a chance to talk to guys like David Lawrence about it and Tony Sands. And David Lawrence said an interesting thing to me where he said, you know what, if Don Fambro was alive today, I think he would want this game to be played, right? Given the circumstances, he would want this game to be played. And that kind of stuck out to me, you know, and I think that's kind of where that sentiment comes from is Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is something that's good for the state of college athletics. You know, in this era of college football realignment and the loss of a lot of these rivalries, like, people got to remember, these are the types of games that get people to fall in love with college athletics and supporting their teams.
I interviewed David Lawrence for our upcoming documentary, and one thing I learned is there is not a human being that loves Kansas athletics more than David Lawrence. Like, he is yes. through and through.
Yeah.
Born
yeah.
in Lawrence, went to a Lawrence high school, went yep. to Kansas, played football at Kansas.
Yep.
There is not a human being that loves Lawrence, Kansas, and Kansas athletics more yeah, than David
and,
Lawrence.
And when it comes to this rivalry with Missouri, I mean,
he's very passionate about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And, you know, he could talk for hours on hours about what it means to him. And he's got so many great stories, you know, of, with Don Fambro, you know, about the different things that he would say of, I'm packing peanut butter sandwiches. I'm filling up on the Kansas side with gas. I'm not spending a penny on the Missouri side, you know, and I'm driving back immediately after the game, stuff like that. So yeah, David Lawrence is certainly, I think, a guy that really still encapsulates it, but that is an interesting also dynamic of this as well is, you know, you're talking about it now. It's been essentially a generation when it comes to football of this game not being played, right? A perfect example is a guy like Calvin Clements, left tackle for Kansas. He grew up in Lawrence, went to Lawrence Free State. He was like 4 years old when the last game was played, right? So what really connection does he have to it, right? So that's where I think it's interesting when it comes to, is that going to play a big factor in this game?
He's
right?
going to find out whenever there's 60,000 people chanting blank KU, like from somebody who's born in Lawrence.
No,
like,
I know.
I don't care if you don't know the rivalry or not. If that many people are chanting that, I just don't know how you don't get mad.
I think they'll figure it out quick.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Saturday at 2:00.
Yeah.
Who has the coaching advantage, Missouri or Kansas?
I would say, I think Kansas. I think Lance Leipold's done a really nice job of kind of downplaying it, you know, and obviously he had a great quote earlier in the week of basically saying, hey, we want to be enthusiastic but not emotional about the game, which basically I think means you want to have that energy, you want to understand, but you don't want to let it pour over into the negative side of the emotions, right? And on top of that, he basically said, hey, you don't want to play the game on Tuesday, meaning you don't want to let that anticipation basically get you too hyped up early in the week.
And then
and then it's kind of a deflation when you actually get to Saturday and play the game. So I think he's got a really good manage on that of, okay, we want to make sure these guys are slowly building up throughout the week so that we get the A performance on Saturday, not the A performance on Wednesday, you know, during practice. So that's where I think he's got a really good grasp on it. But certainly it's going to be a challenge, right? And obviously I think this is going to be the toughest environment that most of the Kansas players have ever faced in their entire careers, and probably Lance Leipold himself as a coach also. So that's going to be a big part of it as well. But I think he's done a good job, at least as far as I can tell this week, of, you know, settling things down a little bit leading into Saturday and then letting the play do the talking, hopefully.
Who do you think has the quarterback advantage Saturday at 2:00? Because that's someone that to me like is a genuine toss-up. Now, maybe I'm putting way too much stock into what I saw, but I was at the Fresno State game.
Sure.
And I like the Jalen Daniels I saw from a couple of years ago. Like, I was at the KU game against Illinois and I was like, that guy can play in the National Football League. Yeah. Like, that guy can play.
Well, hey, go watch him elude Johnny Newton for basically 3.5 quarters in the Illinois game, who ended up being a top two draft pick. Yeah, absolutely. So the question for me, I think, when it comes to the quarterback discussion is, we haven't really seen Bo Prabula in a game where, hey, it's the fourth quarter, it's a one possession game, you got to go do something, right? You got to go make a drive. You got to go make a couple first downs to ice the game. Can he do that, right? We haven't seen him do that yet. And so I think that's maybe where you could look at Jalen Daniels with the experience of having been a part of games like that to say, hey, maybe he can do that. You know, if it's a one possession game, if KU is trying to bleed the clock out late, can he lower his shoulder, get a couple first downs and run the clock out? But I think, when you look at just the two of those guys, obviously pretty similar. I actually think that we're going to see more of the option game from Kansas as well against Missouri to kind of really not let the Missouri defensive line take over, which is something that is concerning, I'll admit, with Kansas having to have two new starters on their offensive line. But, you know, with Jalen Daniels, I think the program kind of goes as he goes. And, you know, there's been some quotes about him in camp and leading into the season of, he kind of has those game day eyes every day. Like, there's some extra focus, extra motivation to him, understanding this is his last year in college football. And obviously, I think for him, recognizing this could be a real crowning win for him and for the KU program if they pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the win. Like, I think if you're Jalen Daniels, you have had a very up and down, inconsistent college football career at KU. Like, there was a time that people thought Jason Bean was better than you.
But also, Jalen Daniels was a Heisman candidate at one point.
100%. I mean, your career will be defined by two games. people will remember Jalen Daniels and Lawrence if they go into Columbia and beat Mizzou, or in a couple of weeks they beat K-State at home. Like, that's how people will talk about you for the next 50 years. If KU is able to pull off one of those two wins, or if they win both of them, maybe KU doesn't go to a bowl game this year. They will be remembered because they won those two games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that you're right. It's a defining legacy moment, you know, because I think for Jalen Daniels, he has had a bit of an inconsistent career, and it's very possible that his legacy at Kansas may be a legacy of, hey, he was a really talented guy, had some big flashes, but ultimately due to injuries and whatnot, ended up not really reaching his potential. Versus you win one or both of these games, you know, maybe that puts Kansas in a position to have a discussion about the Big 12 title at that point as well later in the season. Like, then your legacy completely changes.
We always ask this question. Give me your Kansas wins if scenario. Give me your Missouri wins if scenario.
Yeah, I think for Missouri, it's pretty easy, I think, for Missouri. Missouri wins if their D-line just completely disrupts Kansas's offense from the get-go, right? Like, I think you'll figure out pretty early on if Kansas offensive line can hang with those guys, right, and not let them just completely disrupt whatever KU is trying to do offensively. I think Kansas wins if they play clean football. When you're in an environment like that, when you're in what's going to be the most hostile place you've played in, if you just play clean and you play smart, don't turn the ball over, like, that's going to put you in a good position to win. And then I think on top of that, I mentioned earlier, but I think you'll have to see Jalen Daniel use his legs a lot if Kansas is going to win as well. He's going to need to be mobile with scrambling. I want to see Kansas use the option. I hope they do that. I hope they do use the option, because I think that could be an effective weapon against Missouri. But I think that's another big thing, is they will win if Jalen Daniels is effective with his legs and is able to make plays on the ground.
That is Nick Springer. He is with the Pay Heed podcast, getting you ready for the border war. I'm not calling it the border showdown. I don't even know what that is. It is a border war between Missouri and Kansas.
Yeah, you better call it the border war.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nick Springer joining us on the show today. He is with the Pay Heed podcast. I will encourage people to listen to your podcast next week. I can't encourage them to listen to it right now. I just can't. That's not in my spirit,
you know,
to
what?
Encourage people.
I would
to
expect
that.
Nothing less, to be honest. I'd expect nothing less.
That is Nick Springer joining us on the show today. We'll get back to Chiefs and Chargers next. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. We are going to head to Columbia coming up in about 15 minutes. We're going to be joined by Gabe DeArmon of PowerMizzou.com. I don't want to sound overly confident in this game. I think the Chargers are a good team. I know we have our fun. I know I'm Chargers dot. That's a team with a good coach. That's a team with a productive quarterback. That's a team that won double-digit games last year and made the postseason. I don't want to treat the Chargers like they're playing the Saints this week. That's a good football team. I feel like the only place to even have worry heading into this game is the left side of their offensive line. The Chiefs are clearly better than the Chargers. I can give you 5 years of data to back that opinion up. The thing that would worry me a little bit heading into this is none of us have a single clue of how good the left side of their offensive line is. I think I have a pretty good indication of everything else with the Kansas City Chiefs. I know how good their coach is. I know their coordinator's tendencies. I know their running back. I know their wide receivers. I know how they're going to respond and how they're going to make up for not having Rashee Rice because I saw them do that for 13, 14 games last year. I know how they're going to perform on defense. I'm not even worried about them not having Justin Reed. If there is a position group that they could absorb losing a starter, it was in safety because that's all they've done for the last couple of drafts is pick up Jared Hicks and then pick up Chamari Connor. Like, they have positioned themselves very nicely to get younger and cheaper at that position. The only question mark, the only hesitation that I potentially have heading into this game is the left side of their offensive line is because I just don't know. We talk about Josh Simmons like a certainty, and I certainly get it. He was a very highly coveted transfer. He was a very productive college player when he was healthy. Man, we're talking about a guy who hasn't played football since last October, a guy who was coming off a significant knee injury, a guy who is still a rookie making his first start in the National Football League on a condition, a field that I don't think is going to be in great shape. We're also talking about a left guard in Kingsley Suamataia that at least to this point, they haven't really found what his role is and the confidence in him. So I'm going into this feeling good. I told you guys, I would take the Chiefs -3. I feel very strongly about the Chiefs winning this game. But Rob, I do think we have to acknowledge as we head into this game, man, there's only really one place of uncertainty or cause for concern in this. It's the biggest question mark that the Chiefs have had all offseason. I don't love their running back room, but I feel pretty good about the production that they can get from the position. Yes, it's not ideal to not have Rashee Rice, but they haven't had him in quite some time. I think they can manage not having him. We have talked about their offensive line or their left tackle situation like it has been an improvement. I don't know if it's an improvement. That's why I'm curious to see what it looks like today when we get to see their first live bullets, live rounds.
I don't think today will answer the question because I feel like you need a larger sample size of O-line than just one game. But tonight will give us a baseline to evaluate what the left side looks like. I think that Josh Simmons is an upgrade from what they had at the end of last season. But I do caution Chiefs fans, he is a rookie making his first ever NFL start, and we heard Nate Taylor earlier, it might be raining on that field in Brazil. So it's possible that he has some moments where he looks like a rookie against a Khalil Mack type of pass rusher. That does not mean that the experiment has failed. That does not mean they made a bad draft pick. It just means there's a chance there are some growing pains, which is why I say I do not believe one game sample size. We know for sure the left side does or doesn't hold up. But I know this. If it looks better than the Super Bowl, and that's the floor, that is an encouraging start to the season. There will be moments where Mahomes has to run for his life. It's football. Sometimes passers will get through. Even that 0-3, you know, offensive line, the Chiefs fans wax poetically about with Roaf and Waters and Shields. They gave up sacks that season. It happens. But I think if you can just see it's better today than it was in New Orleans, that's a great start, but Chiefs fans also need to understand there are going to be growing pains with Josh Simmons, and if they're willing to accept those, I think by January, the offensive line will look a lot better than it does tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I expect it to be better than it was in the Super Bowl. I don't think they're going up against the defensive line that they went up against in the Super
Bowl. That's true.
Like Jalen Carter, Brandon Graham was on that defensive line. Like, you had real dogs. I'm not saying that the Chargers don't have dogs. They just don't have Philadelphia's defensive line. And I hear what you're saying about small sample size, and I don't want to overreact, But I just saw the Chiefs overreact last year at small sample size. Like last year, if I'd come on here after the first game and say, hey, I think they're about to bench Kingsley Suamataia, the text line would have been in an uproar. Oh, you're just saying that, hot take artist. Man, it happened two quarters later. So I don't know if I can say small sample size, at least when it comes to one of their offensive linemen. They're obviously going to be very patient with Josh Simmons. They should be. They have made a significant investment in him. But you and I have talked about this. There is only one player on their team that I think is in danger of losing their job. There's only one. Isaiah Pacheco could fumble the first snap of the game. They're going to keep giving Isaiah Pacheco opportunities. They believe in Isaiah Pacheco. You're not going to be worried about a drop from Hollywood Brown. Like, you believe him. He's a veteran player. Christian Fulton. If Kingsley Suamataia doesn't play well, we will absolutely have the conversation on Monday if they are going to sit him heading up to the game against the Philadelphia Eagles. We will absolutely. It's impossible to not have that conversation because I saw them sit him last year in the second game of it. So that's why I just think we all are maybe on heightened alert and why we are paying attention to this more. And very different from last year, they have a guaranteed solution on the bench. If Kingsley Suamataia doesn't play well and they made a switch at the end of this, I don't think anyone is going to be upset. No one will be frustrated because they spent $21 million for a player who we don't expect to play later today.
Let me ask you this, though, because you said they have a built-in solution to the Kingsley problem. Are we sure Jalen Moore is a solution? Like, how confident?
I think he is a noticeable improvement over Kingsley Suamataia.
A guy who's played guard for a handful of snaps at camp and has never played it professionally, is it automatically better? I'm not saying he isn't. I think
Jalen Moore has proven that he is a capable starting player in the league. I don't
think
that Kingsley has shown he is a capable starter in the league.
That's
just
fair.
Based on the information that we have.
That's fair.
He hasn't played a whole lot of games. He got benched. He played in one, which was essentially a preseason game for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, we don't know if Kingsley is a bust or not. He very easily could be. Now, he could end up being good. Maybe you put him at a wrong position. Maybe you played him there a little bit too early, so it's a little bit of a learning curve. But we don't have an answer on whether or not Kingsley Suamataia is an NFL caliber player or not. I do feel confident that's what Jalen Moore is. Now, is he a franchise left tackle that you can put over there and not worry about? But I mean, for you to step in for Trent Williams the way that you did and play the way that you did and then hit free agency and get the kind of contract that you did, the league feels like you are a capable player at your position.
I think he was a capable player at left tackle. I think it's two different things. I think he has shown the NFL he's a capable offensive lineman in the NFL. There is nothing about his Pro Football Reference page or his tape that shows that he is a capable starting guard in the NFL. It's possible the next best guard they have is Mike Caliendo, who was just, I mean, PFF didn't like him last year, but he was just fine last season. My point was this. I feel like Chiefs fans are going to be harsh on Kingsley, and I get it. He was terrible last season. But I feel like they're jumping to, hey, we have this perfect, ready-made solution at the position. Bing, bang, boom, slide Jalen Moore in there. Boom, problem solved. There is no evidence that Jalen Moore at left guard is a solve to the problem. It's possible playing Jalen Moore at left guard is the same problem as Kingsley. It's a tackle out of position who is just, you know, drowning at times. We don't know. He's an NFL offensive lineman. We don't know he's an NFL offensive guard.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to be joined by Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. We're going to get his thoughts on the matchup coming up tomorrow between Missouri and Kansas. I want to give you guys my thought on what we watched last night between the Eagles and the Cowboys. I'm guessing that the rating was going to be a monster, and then just in the middle of the third quarter, we took an hour break between those two teams. But I'm assuming whenever we get the number, it did really well for the National Football League. It was a very fun and exciting back and forth game, obviously, until the weather didn't cooperate. Let's talk about the two big storylines from yesterday, and then we'll be joined by Gabe DeArmond. The first thing is, spitting on somebody is quite possibly one of the worst things that you can do. There is no debate in that. Punch me, push me, kick me. Spitting on me, you don't think I am a human. Like, that is one of the lowest, most disrespectful things that you could quite possibly do to another person. I don't believe that Dak Prescott was trying to spit at Jalen Carter or really spitting in his direction. I think it was just a thing that guys do. We all do it. You're walking somewhere, you just spit randomly. I don't know why we do it, we just do it. I think Jalen Carter took some offense to it. His emotions are running high. All of a sudden, him and Dak get into it. He spits on him, and it's incredibly stupid. Now, how the NFL handles this is going to be very interesting. I don't think they are going to suspend him. I don't really think that there is a basis on suspending him based on how they have handled this. This is not the first spitting incident that we have had in the National Football League. And every single time, he has just quite simply resulted in a fine. And he's already missed the game. Now, granted, he got a game check from it. Then just retroactively take the game check away, say that he's already served a one-game suspension, and then he moves forward. But the Chiefs play the Eagles. This is a big game. I believe the game is on Fox. If I have my who has the CBS Fox breakdown, you are not suspending maybe the best defensive player on the Eagles for this game. You're not doing that. Especially when he already missed a game for this. So what I'm guessing is at some point here in the next 3 to 5 days, we find out that Jalen Carter got somewhere between a $10,000 to $15,000 fine. Maybe it ends up being a little bit more, but he will play, in my opinion, next week against the Kansas City Chiefs. I just don't see him missing two games for this incident. Let's also talk about CeeDee Lamb. Maybe I'm the only one that felt this way. Watching CeeDee Lamb walk around and pat his chest like, my bad, bruh, we know it's your bad. Dak gave you an absolute laser, just dropped it. And then on fourth down, when I'm assuming as a wide receiver, you want the ball, you want to go out there and make a play, you alligator armed it. CeeDee Lamb had quite possibly the worst 7-catch, 110-yard game that I'd ever seen. He was phenomenal yesterday. He was also a major reason of why they lost yesterday. So I don't think that Jalen Carter is being suspended. He is going to be fine, but he is going to play next week against Kansas City. And CeeDee Lamb, I mean, just first-team FanDuel is what I saw from you yesterday. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by one of the stars of Armageddon at Arrowhead, Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. Gabe, how are you doing?
Not bad, man. What's going on?
Doing good, man. Happy to have you on the show today. What is it like to have Kansas back into town?
You know, it's people, I think, are more excited than I thought they were going to be. There seems to be a buzz around here. You know, SEC Network's down here now. And I don't get me wrong. I think a good amount of that has to do with Missouri has a good team, and Missouri expects to win this game. And so they're probably a little bit more excited than they would have been otherwise. But, no, I think people are excited about it.
Yeah, I've always said this about it, and you and I have kind of had this conversation. You know, you and I have had our Missouri and Kansas memories, and now I think it's time to let the new generation kind of have theirs, where last year Missouri fans stormed the court after a win. We'll see if they can be competitive going to Allen Fieldhouse. They play each other home and road the next 2 years. Like, part of this rivalry has to grow and transform because we got to allow the next generation of 17 to 21-year-olds to create those memories.
Yeah, there's no reason this can't be, you know, the SEC is going to a 9-game schedule and they're requiring you to play a power conference game other than that. Why can't this be Kansas or Clemson, South Carolina, or Georgia, Georgia Tech, or Kentucky, Louisville? And it's going to take a minute, but like now there are 25-year-olds who are saying, well, sure, of course Missouri's an SEC team. Missouri's always been an SEC team, at least as long as they've been paying attention. So, is this going to come back like it was for you and me when we were growing up immediately? No, but if you commit to doing this and if Bill Self allows it, you know, then 10, 15 years down the road, kids are used to this, and this is what they get excited about.
Right now, we're talking to Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. Gabe, I asked our KU guest this question. I'll ask you the same question. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, which team do you think has the coaching advantage?
I fall in a different place on this than most people do. I think the coaching advantage goes to the guy that has better players most of the time. And I think, don't get me wrong, there are a handful of guys that I think can take, you know, a less talented team and win somewhat consistently. I've said for years, I consider Bill Snyder the best coach in college football history because he did it somewhere where nobody else has really done it. And I watched him, like, when everybody else was running the option, he went to the spread. And then when everybody else was running the spread, he went to the I formation and slowed down. So I don't know necessarily. I think Lance has done a really good job. I think he's a really good coach, but I think Drink's done a really good job here, and I think Drink has more talent to use. So I think he has the better team tomorrow. Whether that means he's the better coach or not, I don't know. I'd hate to find out that, you know, tomorrow at 6 o'clock I'm getting ready to write about, well, this guy sure screwed it up for his team at the end.
Which team do you think has the better quarterback?
I think it's Kansas for now, especially if Daniels plays, you know, at the top end of his ability. Now, we have seen Jalen have some games where, you know, he makes a lot of mistakes. And that's one thing I did not see Beau Fravilla come close to doing last week, but it was against Central Arkansas. I mean, I've seen Jalen Daniels do this against power conference teams, and I really haven't seen Beau do it yet. So I think I've got a default to Kansas having the edge there for now.
I was really impressed by Beau last week. Now, I understand the opponent that they were going up against, but it felt like they got a second chance at Matty Mock. Like, it's been a while since I think they've had some.
Oh, don't say that.
I'm telling you, I saw an arm. I saw him running around and making plays. I was really, really impressed by what I saw.
Like, why would you pick the worst quarterback Missouri's had as a starter in the last 20 years as the comp?
I just the way they play in the style. And Mock, I think we all thought, just had a higher ceiling. Now, he had some off-the-field issues that I think derailed that. But, like, from a play style, Mock had a chance of being a good quarterback at Mizzou.
Yeah, but my issue with this has always been, you know, Matty Mock played with the best defense Missouri's had in this time period. And because of the team's record, and Matty wasn't awful, don't get me wrong, but – he was not, like, he's below Brad Smith. He's below Chase Daniel. He's below Drew Locke. He's below Blaine Gabbert. He's probably below Brady Cook. You know, maybe that's not fair, but, you know, I guess style of play, I can see what you're saying, but I think Matty Mock was chaotic, man. Like, he would drop back, and you just had no idea what was going to happen. And I didn't get that sense from Beau. I think Beau is much calmer and more measured and in control.
Right now, we're talking to Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. You mentioned the talent advantage and who you think the better team is. Like, from a player-by-player perspective, I honestly don't really think it's close between the two teams. And, like, where I think Missouri wins this game is, I just think their defense is going to play really well. Again, I know they were playing Central Arkansas, but just I look at a defense that just – I think they can do a lot of things well. I think they can get after the quarterback. I think they can take the ball away. I think they can control the line of scrimmage. Like, I think their defense wins them this game.
I think their edge of the front, because I think both teams' question mark right now is the offensive line. And I think Missouri's front seven versus KU's offensive line is a bigger edge than KU's defensive line against Missouri's offensive line, and KU's linebackers are beat up. So, yeah, I agree. That's probably what it comes down to, you know, line of scrimmage. And I just think that they both have questions on the offensive front, and I don't think this Missouri team is what you want to face if you're kind of trying to work out your offensive line.
I'm worried about Missouri's offensive line. Are you worried about it?
I'm monitoring for sure. I planned all summer to pick them 9-3, and when they started doing the shuffle and moving everybody around, I downgraded that to 8-4. It was pretty good for most of the week last week, but like, there were about 8 plays that were pretty bad, and 8 plays is too many against Central Arkansas. So, yeah, I'm prepared to maybe need to be worried about it. It's not quite worried about it yet.
I just wasn't prepared to see Missouri's quarterback hit as often as it was yesterday. Like, you're not really thinking that your quarterback's going to be in a lot of danger. I know that he runs a lot, but this wasn't like him running and being careless and getting hit. This is like him dropping back to pass and him getting hit. That was the thing that really stood out to me and really startled me, how poorly their offensive line played on those 6 to 8 plays you're discussing.
Yeah, and to be fair, he also ran and carelessly got hit a couple times, you know, which was – and it all happened right after Sam Horn went out. And we're just sitting in the press box going, who's even going to play quarterback by the time they get to October? Because he's not going to be upright if they keep this up. And to their credit, they fixed it, and it looked a lot better in the second half. But, yeah, those 10 plays are so really – I mean, they have you they're in, I don't even want to say they're in the back of your mind. They're in your mind entering this week, no question.
What is your favorite basketball memory of this rivalry?
I mean, it's the two games in 2012. I've always said, like, if you just went into those buildings and you did not care who won, like, that was as good as college sports could be. You know, it was both of them won in their home building in a huge comeback on calls that the other side will absolutely say were incorrect calls. And, you know, they were just as good as two games could be. And then you add in, I just remember in the Big 12 tournament being disappointed that Baylor beat Kansas because I wanted round three for the Big 12 title that year.
I went to game 7 of the World Series, and people always just think, oh, you're just saying this. It was more tense for the final like, because I never thought that KU would ever go back to Mizzou Arena. Like, I thought if they ever played again, they would just play at Sprint Center, and that's like, that was the last time. And Kansas won at the Hearns Center, and they were going to win the last game. Like, I never felt a building more tense than basically the entire second half until Denman goes crazy.
Yeah, it was, I mean, that was his. If I'm making a list of like the 5 or 10 best things I've ever been at, either working or as a fan, they're both absolutely on the list.
I would say if I'm removing those two, I remember going back to school the day after Christian Moody and just, you know, that energy when you go back to, hey, you got to watch the game yesterday. Christian Moody might actually be my favorite memory of the rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, it was up there. There's absolutely no question. I would pick a game that Missouri won in Allen Fieldhouse, but, like, I've never been at one. So, you know.
Gabe, I'll get you out of here with this. Give me your Kansas win-if scenario. Give me your Missouri win-if scenario for Saturday.
Missouri wins if it plays a B game or better. Kansas wins if Jalen Daniels is Superman. I really think that's what it comes down to, because I think Missouri's better most places. But Daniels is good enough that he can win a game on his own sometimes.
That is Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com joining us on the show today. Gabe, I look forward to the game tomorrow. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at Columbia. It should be a lot of fun tomorrow.
For sure, man. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow morning, and looking forward to your doc coming out.
Absolutely. That is Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com joining us on the show today. Gabe is a star in our documentary. Really excited for you guys to see it as we go back to 2007 and cover the game at Arrowhead between Missouri and Kansas. All right, we are off early today at 4 o'clock because of Chiefs pregame. We'll get you back to Chiefs and Chargers coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. I'm a little disappointed that we don't get our full show. I'm not the one that makes the programming decisions, but we got Chiefs pregame coming up in about 15 minutes. All right, so we don't have a lot of time. Let's get into it. We led the show today with this statistic. It is very important that you know this. Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert have gone up against each other 8 times. This is the 9th time that they have gone up against each other. 7 of those 8 games have been decided by one possession. Now, I know you're super excited about the beginning of the season. You bleed Chiefs red. I understand all of that. This game will probably be close. This is not Chargers Dot telling you this. I'm simply looking at the numbers. This game will probably be close. But what usually separates these two teams is how much better the Chiefs are in the fourth quarter compared to the Chargers. In those 8 games, the Chiefs have outscored the Chargers 85-50. It is not close once you get to money time between these two teams. That is usually the difference between the Chiefs and a lot of teams in the league. It certainly is the case in this one. If you look at Justin Herbert on his last drive in these games, they have only scored a touchdown 1 time on those final drives. The difference between Patrick Mahomes and all of these other quarterbacks and all of these other teams is these other teams think they will go down the field and score. You're hopeful. Yeah, we can do this. The Chiefs know they are going to go down the field and score and win this game. And if you look at why the Chiefs have been the Chiefs, it has been their consistency in high-pressure, clutch situations. Why the Chargers feel like they have been stuck in the mud for the last 15 years or so is because the Chargers are not good in these close situations. So seeing is believing, and until proven otherwise, if you are projecting a close game between the Chiefs and the Chargers, you have to take the Chiefs every single time. Vegas is telling you that they think on a neutral site that this is going to be a close game. They think it's a 27-24, 28-24. They think it's one of those kind of games. You cannot pick the Chargers to win that game. Where do the Chargers have the advantage? They don't have it at coach. They don't have it at quarterback. Do they have it at offensive line? Because their starting left tackle is hurt. Mekhi Becton, who they just brought in, he has an illness. Not sure if he's going to play. Where do the Chargers have a clear advantage over the Kansas City Chiefs? So if you're going by that metric, it's also the beginning of the season. It's also September. Chiefs get off to a really, really good start. I'm sorry. I got to pick Kansas City in this. I've not seen or heard a compelling argument of why anybody should take the Chargers to win this matchup. Now, football happens, right? You can't predict that. But if you're telling me that you think it's going to be a close game, I'm going to take the team that has proven to come up big in those spots. I'm going to take the team with the better quarterback. I'm going to take the team with the better head coach, the team that I think is going to be better prepared to handle those situations. 85-50 in the fourth quarter of the last 8 games between the Chiefs and the Chargers. This game will come down to what most Chiefs games come down to. Patrick Mahomes makes 1 or 2 plays late. The Chargers do 1 of 3 Charger things at the end of the game. The Chiefs win this game 28-24, and everybody goes home happy.
I feel like maybe it's that's why fans call it the script. This is why these sorts of things happen. But I feel like we've seen this Chiefs game 8, 9, 10 times. The Chargers are good. I'm not saying they're great. I'm not saying they're as good as the Chiefs, but they are a good football team. The Chiefs are better. It has been a long time in Chiefs football that we saw a team the Chiefs were just better than, and they went out and walloped them. Like, usually it's the NFL. When one team's good, the other team's good. The games are close. It comes down to a few plays. The Chiefs are a dynasty type of team. They make the plays. They win the game. That is usually how these things go. With the Chargers, it's like magnified. you had the stats. Justin Herbert has had nothing but opportunity to throw on Patrick Mahomes. Nothing. He has the ball late, chance to win. He has the ball, hey, middle of the quarter, you're down by 7, go tie the game. Hey, you're down by 2, go get a touchdown and ice this thing down. He does not ever do it. There was one exception. It was 2021 at Arrowhead in September. There has been one time he has ever done it. It feels like the narrative around Justin Herbert is he falls short, and I think tonight we're going to see him fall short. I think it's going to be like 24-20. He's going to get the ball with 2 minutes and change to go and a couple timeouts, and people are going to be like, oh, can he go do it? And I feel like by 10:30, 11, you're going to be at home or coming home from the bar, wherever you're watching the game tonight, and you're going to say Justin Herbert fell short again because there's too much data that in those moments he falls short.
At this point, it's very, very simple to me. Twofold. If you think that the Chiefs are slipping in a way in the division, then the Broncos, Chargers, or Raiders have to prove it to me. If you think that Justin Herbert is a top five quarterback in the league and should be held in that conversation, then you got to show it to me. It's that simple. We do this all the time with the Chargers. We do this all the time with other teams in the AFC, other teams in the division. Now is the show up and prove time. We're done playing these games on paper. Oh, well, I think I project. No, that's over. Everybody has issued out their projections and predictions for this upcoming season. That's over. It's already started. So if you think the Chargers are ready to either pass Kansas City or be in that conversation as a team that can genuinely can compete for the Super Bowl, because I'm telling you, if you win more games than the Chiefs this season and you win the AFC West, we have to talk about you like you are a Super Bowl contending team. If you think the Chargers have evolved to that kind of team with their head coach and their quarterback, then they have to win today. There is no other argument. You gave up a home game to go to a neutral site in Brazil against the three-time defending AFC champion. If you think you're ready to compete at that level, you got to figure out a way to win today. And I don't want to hear about drops from Quentin Johnston or injuries that you have. That's football. That's life. You got to figure out a way to overcome those things and figure out a way to win. The Chiefs have mastered that over the last 5 years. The Chargers haven't. It's always an excuse. Oh, we got a new coordinator. Oh, this drop happened. We would have beat you if it wasn't for this injury. That's football. That's life. That's life. Figure it out. I'm picking the Chiefs to win today 28-24. I think they're just better than the Chargers. And I think they're going to execute late. I like Isaiah Pacheco on an anytime touchdown. If you want to take a little bit of a flyer, I take Hollywood Brown to get the first touchdown of the game. And I take a little bit of a swing with the no sweat bet on one of those. So good luck to you guys. I wish we had more time today, but we got to hand things off to the Chiefs Radio Network. I'll be back on Monday. We'll have a lot of football to talk about. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive. And until then, I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.